Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. Appreciate all of you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors, Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be kind of weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Anguilla.
Where's Anguilla?
It's in the Delta.
Of course it is.
On 61 between Vicksburg and Greenville.
Okay.
I have been there twice.
I've probably been there, but, you know, all those towns kind of run together at this point.
I played football at Anguilla twice, so I remember it. Didn't ever win there either, so.
Yeah, well, like I told you, you can throw a dart at most towns in Mississippi, but especially in the Delta, and find somebody that was famous from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've looked up, of course, singers. There's some singers or some musicians in here. A fiddler that worked with Muddy Waters and Charlie Patton, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then a singer in 1919, Robert Anderson. Nobody that really blows you away, but some talented people nonetheless.
The Mississippi Delta. I mean, that's what it's all about musically. So, well, wherever you are from the Delta.
We're going to talk about the Delta a little bit later.
Huh? We are from the Delta to the Pine Belt to the Gulf Coast, wherever you are in our state. If you want Strange Brew Coffee, all you've got to do is go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com and they'll deliver it right to your door. Whatever kind of coffee machine sits on your counter, there's coffee for it at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com. I feel for you guys if you haven't already made the call, if you haven't made the statement to your family, if you hadn't told them, because, you know, I feel bad for you when you get that soap on a rope. I just do. But those of us who made the decision to let our families know what we want for Father's Day, probably going to work out better for us. Probably going to get some great gear from College Corner. They have two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. They're in Flowood by the Half Shell. Or you can always shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Humble Tacos, Starkville's best Mexican restaurant, Mexican fare with Mississippi roots. It's Wing Wednesday over there. And those wings are sort of what we're talking about. Smoked wings. You've had them. You love them. They're great. But when you put a Mexican twist on them, which is what they've done in Humble Taco, it takes them to a whole nother level. And that's another with an N, not another, nother. That's how you know it's really good, when you're dropping letters off of words to describe them. So next time you're here in Starkville, or if you're in Starkville all the time, you need to head over to Humble Taco to grab some Mexican fare with Mississippi roots. Looking for a lunch idea today? Why not Firehouse Subs? Download the free Firehouse Subs app. It's free. Did I mention that it's free? Also, follow Firehouse Subs on Twitter. Twitter is another app. It is also free. And following Firehouse Subs on Twitter is free. And you can get free stuff. Free sandwiches when you pile up the reward points every time you order with your app. And if you're following them on Twitter, they're giving away free things all the time. So do those two things, and you can be eating for free more often than not. Locations in Starkville and Oxford, Columbus and Tupelo, Flowood and Madison. That's Firehouse Subs. Robbie Falk. It's always great to talk to you. I want to start off with that.
Oh, thanks. I enjoy your presence as well, Brian.
Well, thank you. A lot to talk about today. We've got some recruiting news we'll get to in just a moment. We've got an SEC preview today, the Auburn Tigers, which I always have fun when that's the team. But
not an Auburn Tigers fan, are you?
I have made a small fortune, I guess you could say. I have made a business out of believing that Auburn is what it is, and that is a perennial four-loss or worse team. They have been that way every year since 2014.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
It usually works out like this.
Mm-hmm.
They are, you know, they win 7 or 8 games, and then someone will have their job on the line, and they'll compete for the SEC West. This year, I do not expect that to happen. But under Gus Malzahn, it was like, you know, he would be mediocre for a couple of years. He's on the hot seat, and then he competes for a national title for the SEC West or something. And that, like, it just seemed like it worked out that way. I'm kind of you with Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, I'm like, just prove it. I mean, I see on the message board all the time. Oh, well, they have the money. They finally got a coach now, and they got the money. They can be a perennial national champion. Prove it.
We haven't
seen it. We have not seen it. Since they've been in the SEC, they've been incredibly mediocre, with the exception of 2 years ago when their only loss was to Alabama. And they come back last year and they were mediocre again.
I had a debate yesterday with a friend, and by yesterday I mean Sunday, where he just automatically chalked up A&M as a loss for Mississippi State. I was like, State beat them last year. He's like, yeah, but they're just so much more talented. I'm like, they were more talented last year.
They were more talented in just about every year,
like,
that they played.
It's won 5 out of 8 since Manziel left. What are we talking? They're 5-5 total since A&M got in the conference. Why is that?
Their roster has been more talented than Mississippi State every single time they've played.
Maybe in 14 it was close. Maybe.
Yeah.
But that was it.
They still were probably more talented from a star standpoint.
Well, I mean, they had the number one overall pick in the draft on that roster.
Yes.
And Myles Garrett. So, yes. Yes, but, you know, whatever.
But what you're saying is these two teams are very comparable. Mm-hmm. They both get plenty of talent, and they both underperform for the most part. And they have, you know, this is a team that – this is a program that has as much wealth as anybody else in the SEC.
Yeah.
Very wealthy base.
They have more wealth than almost anybody in the country outside of, like, your Ivy League schools.
Outside of Texas. They probably don't have more money than Texas, do they?
You know, you say that. I think it's probably closer than you think, and A&M might actually be ahead.
It might be. They probably have more oil money than Texas does.
Well, that's where the A&M guys are, the oil money. So we'll get into all that in a little bit. But it sort of leads into our discussion that we're going to have here about the schedule, because, you know, obviously last week or 2 weeks ago at the SEC meetings, that was the big topic. We talked about it some on this show, the 1-7 versus the 3-6. Do you go to the extra conference game? Do you keep the 1-7 model and keep your Power 5 out of conference game? What's best for the SEC versus what's best for Mississippi State? I asked John Cohen about that on, I think that was Thursday or Wednesday's Sports Talk Mississippi. John Cohen will be on the podcast with me a little later this week. We'll maybe go into a little bit more depth about trying to, you know, the balance between what's good for the conference versus what's good for each school. That's kind of an Adam Smith kind of thing happening there.
Hopefully that interview is not the dud that the last one was. We're not to redo it, because there's only one athletic director.
Yeah, I get Rhett. See how that
goes. Thanks.
I'm not too worried about John Cohen wanting to talk about comparing ourselves to professional wrestlers. Also later this week, Michael Borky will join me to talk about the Egg Bowl. All right, I sealed that up today. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, we're on opposite sides of this debate. You are a fan of the 3-6. I am staunchly in favor of the 1-7.
I don't really care.
Okay.
I'm not, you know, directly opposed to either one of them. I'm, you know, it doesn't really bother me.
Okay. Well, then
I think I said last time that I kind of liked the 3-6,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, it's whatever. I'm just a fan of college, you know, SEC, what's about to happen with the SEC.
Some of the things I keep seeing from people, and it's not just on Gene's page, it's on a bunch of different spots, it's people I talk to. There just feels like there's some misconceptions about what would happen in the 3-6. One thing I keep seeing over and over again is, like, it's better to have these SEC games than these FCS teams. Guys, those games are going to remain on the schedule.
Yeah.
State will still play FCS teams every season, no matter how many power
conference. The non-conference schedule is going to get weaker.
Right, much weaker, because you're going to lose that Power 5 FBS team that you play every year.
So you are a fan of the three permanents?
No, I'm a fan of the one permanent, seven rotating.
Okay.
I would prefer to keep it at eight conference games and keep a Power Five non-conference, because I feel like you can be pickier in who you play. You don't have to play Michigan and Ohio State, USC, and things like that. You can play like states playing, Arizona State, Minnesota, Texas Tech. I know Texas Tech just beat the hell out of Mississippi State, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
I prefer that. I don't think that's going to win. I think 3-6 is going to win, because at the end of the day, and this is true about every facet of life, the powerful get what they want. Alabama, Georgia, these teams, they want to play 3-6. And in reality, it's kind of interesting, because those are the schools I think LSU could put in there, Florida. They would continue to play a Power 5 outside the SEC. I think they would be playing 10 non-conference games or 10 Power 5 games a year, nine conference and one out of conference, because they're still going to continue to play those kickoff classic games.
Yeah.
You're still going to see games with Alabama versus Ohio State and, you know, Georgia and Oregon, or those games like you're seeing this year. Now, today on the message board, that's what got me thinking about this. David Murray reported that he's got some sources saying that it looks like Texas A&M and Texas and Oklahoma will try to move up, and instead of coming in 2025, they'll come in 2024. If that is indeed the case, what works for Mississippi State in that situation is you're out of that your cycle of Power Five games. What I mean is, State plays at Arizona this year. They have Arizona at home in 2023. 2024 starts a new series. Instead of having to play at Arizona State and then cancel the home game against Arizona State in 2025 when you go to nine conference games, you can just cancel the series with Arizona State. And then you're playing, you know, your 2024 schedule will be nine conference games, Eastern Kentucky, Utah State, and UMass. Some enthralling games there for sure.
Yes.
That's what State's going to have to do. I am hopeful. I'm not optimistic, though, that if they can cancel these series before any games are played, then maybe they can get out without a huge financial penalty. But right now, State's looking at canceling games with Arizona State, Minnesota, Texas Tech, and Washington State. They have non-conference games scheduled from 2024 to 2031 that, quite frankly, I guess they're going to have to get out of. But if you keep the 1-7, if you keep eight conference games, you don't have to get rid of those games. In reality, Robbie, if they have to cancel those games, that could be a few million dollars that the university has to pay out and buy
them. Well, in that case, would they not just play those games and cancel a game against, you know, Ball State or whatever?
Well, now we're talking about Mississippi State playing 10 Power 5 games in one season.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough, but is it worth canceling a game to play, you know, a lesser team and losing, you know, millions of dollars?
Well, that's the question that John Cohen and company would have to answer. Do we want to pay these buyouts, or do we want to play 10 Power 5 games and dramatically decrease our chances of postseason play? Both of those decisions cost you money.
Well, unless you win.
Unless you win, which, you know,
I mean, these are not juggernauts by any means. I mean, Minnesota is going to be a good team.
They aren't juggernauts, but State split with Kansas State, and they only played the one game against NC State. But I feel pretty confident, based on what I saw in 2020, that if State had to go to Raleigh, they would have lost.
Yeah.
So, I mean, State is splitting these series thus far. Now, they have a great chance with Arizona, because this is not a good Arizona team that you're going to be playing, to go out there and get the win and then come back. But you felt like that with Kansas State, too. You went to Kansas State first. You blew them out, Moorhead's first year. Then they come to Starkville the next year, and they won the game. It's all about it's about what's better for State versus the conference. I mean, it's about making your life easier. Eight conference games and a Power 5 game against a mid-tier Big Ten, Pac-12, ACC team, always better than nine conference games, and certainly better than nine conference games and that Power 5 game. That's tough. That's tough for anybody, let alone Mississippi State.
It would be tough, but I mean, I think there's just something to be said about there's a difference in being a Power Five school and being in a good Power Five school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of these teams might be Power Five teams, but they're not exactly setting the world on fire. I mean, there might be a group of five team that's tougher than some of the teams that they might play. I don't know. I mean, we'll see down the stretch. So, you know, it's a tough decision to make. I mean, you lose money by canceling a series, or you potentially add another really difficult game on a schedule that's already going to be incredibly difficult. Mm. You need those non-conference ball games. You need to win three. You need to make sure you absolutely win three non-conference games at least every year. Mm. And most of the time you need to win four of them with the type of schedule that you play. So, you know, sacrificing a win to save some money would not be beneficial for Mississippi State.
And I feel like Mississippi State fans are a little too chest out for this. And what I mean by that is there's so much, you know, if we can't win these, you know, we don't deserve. Well, guys, you're not the ones out there sweating in August and during practice. The bowl games are for the players. That's their reward. Now, granted, Memphis in December, not a fantastic reward. But when you go 8-4 and you get to go to Tampa, or you get to go to Jacksonville, or if you really do well and you get, you know, you go 9 wins and you can get to go to one of the better bowls, that's the reward. It's for them. It's not for you so much. So when
it's kind of like, you know, music at games and jerseys.
Yeah.
Those aren't for the 55-year-old man.
Right. Well, I take that. I disagree with you on music at games, but I'll that's another thing.
Well, I'm mostly talking about pregame, you know. I mean, during games, you're probably right. But
yeah. But anyway, yeah. We're getting off track. If I'm a Mississippi State athletic official, I want Mississippi State in bowl games. You know, I always have agreed with what – I know he's not popular, but what Scott Strickland said was, you know, we talk about Power Five teams, I'd rather play them in December than in September. Totally agree with that 100%. I'd rather be in bowl games than have a non-conference game on campus or a trip to Minneapolis or wherever it is the University of Minnesota is.
That's why he apologized for scheduling.
I didn't agree with that, but regardless. I just, for me, I think the 1-7, keep Ole Miss, 7 different games every year, which is that in and of itself is cool, right? 7, I mean, the conference thing turns over every year like that. That's cool. I'm a fan of that. You keep your Power Five games, so you keep some of these intriguing matchups, but they're manageable. They're games that you feel like you have the power to schedule them, as opposed to every year, instead of, you know, people keep, I saw something, I'd rather play Texas than Texas State. Well, that's not what it is. Still going to play Texas State. It's whether you'd rather play Texas or Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's simple as that.
Yeah, and two, it depends on what the schedule is, like who they're playing.
Mm-hmm. And we also have to remember that if you go to 9, you're going to have years where you have more road games than home games.
Yeah,
every season you're going to have somebody's going to have.
There's no way around that.
He's going to have 4.
Yeah, there's no way around that.
You know, your first. And let's just sort of look at it. Let's look at it from the perspective of what you were just talking about, right? So 2024, let's say State drops the game with UMass, all right? Or let's just pick them, right? So State keeps Eastern Kentucky at Arizona State and then Utah State. And now State gets the 5 road games. They're on the unlucky side of the coin. So that means your first year doing this, you got your 6-6 for road games and home games. Whereas if you get rid of the Power Five game, you get it's 7-5. You have 7 home games. Again, talking about money, what's the price of a home game? What's you know? There's just so many things. There's so many different strings attached to all of this. I'm very interested to see, and I guess it's going to be another year, how the conference decides to handle all this. I imagine that next spring, when they go to the spring meetings, we will have a decision made on what the scheduling is going to look like. And probably we'll start knowing about it before those meetings. But there's a lot of like a lot of dominoes, I guess, that are going to get toppled one way or the other. People across the country are going to be upset. I mean, if you're Arizona State's athletic director, you think you've got a marquee matchup against a decent SEC team coming to your stadium in 2024, possibility you're not going to get that at all. They're probably not going to just be like, okay, we'll just, you know, let them out of the contract. They're going to want something. So I'm fascinated to see how this turns out.
Yeah, it's an interesting decision that has to be made here. And you can make points for either scheduling a possibility. But like I said, last time we talked about this, I don't think there's a wrong way, really. I think for Mississippi State, they could probably benefit from a 1-7.
Mm-hmm.
But the 3-6 sounds so intriguing to me, too.
Yeah, I get it.
And you know, those schools are going to be mad, but Mississippi State's got to do what they got to do. I mean, this is exactly. The bottom line is they have to get to a bowl game consistently, and they've done it every year since 2010. They have to continue to do that. This program relies on that.
Yeah.
So the easiest way to do that is dropping some of these Power 5 games, because the risk is much greater. I mean, those teams have a much more greater possibility of being pretty good to really good,
mm-hmm.
as, you know, Tennessee Tech.
Right.
You know, or Jackson State.
The other good news for State is if they do have to – whatever they have to pay out to whoever, in 2024 they'll be making a lot more money, because that's when the new SEC deal starts, another $40, $50 million a year. So you have that money at least. You're not having to, you know, borrow it or anything. But, again, and I've said this before on Sports Talk, I'll say it here, it's all about money. It's all about money, and whatever decision makes the most financial sense is the decision that's going to get made for everybody. So,
yeah.
All right. Before we go to the commercial break, all right, we talked about it on yesterday's show, and now we're starting to see the first effects of it. Dante Kelly, 6'3", 203-pound athlete from LaFleur County High School over in Itabena, Mississippi, has committed to Mississippi State. 6'3", 203. Robbie, linebacker?
Safety, probably.
Oh, I can't.
Could grow into a linebacker.
I'm about to say, in a college weight program, you can't convince me he's not going to put on 30 pounds.
You just don't know. I mean, I don't know how his body handles weight or how – I mean – we thought that Emmanuel Forbes was going to put on 40 pounds.
That's a good point.
I mean, you just don't know.
He's still thin as a promise.
I'm pretty sure that he's been talked to as a safety. So, I mean,
some big DBs in the state of Mississippi this year. I mean, between him and who's the kid we're talking about? Kelly Jones?
Kelly Jones.
Six.
Another four. Kelly.
I mean, these are big. Big athletic looking kids. And it sort of goes back to what I said yesterday about Mississippi athletes being sort of underrated. Project this guy. I mean, he's 6'3 and 200 pounds. If he can run at all, I mean, that's what you want. That's an NFL body. If he's got any, you know, ability, he's going to be a good player for you. Tony Hughes is the lead recruiter for this kid. That's not a surprise. The Delta has always been good to Mississippi State. We were just talking about that a minute ago. State has forever been getting great players from the Delta and turning them into stars here at Mississippi State. I'm interested to see this Delta group. It looks like State's going to do well there and maybe get three or four of the top prospects from that area, and this kid's just one of them.
Yeah, all this group was on campus the other day. Really athletic group, a good-sized group too, and you mentioned Tony Hughes. You got to give Rod Gibson some credit here, too. He's done a really good job on those Delta guys, as he does on a lot of these in-state players. And I think that you get athletes like this and you just figure out what to do with them when they get here. I mean, this is too good of an athlete. Not a ton of offers, not any big-name offers. I mean, Vanderbilt's been in on him. I think Memphis, Arkansas State, teams like that. But a kid that if he was seen a little more, I think would get a ton of more offers. but he's just kind of hidden. I mean, he's in two-way football in the Delta and just doesn't get seen a whole lot. And he's, you know, a lot of these Delta kids, they want to stay home. They like Mississippi State. They like the coaches. And I feel like this is a guy that is going to be part of that Delta group that kind of gets the ball rolling here for Mississippi State in this class. But two, I don't know if they have to rush on all these Delta guys either. I mean, yeah, there's not a ton of offers on their offer list. They're not players that you know, they have a clock ticking on their commitment. So, I mean, they don't have to rush. But at the same time, if you're going to take them anyway, you could go ahead and get that momentum rolling. But I think this is a good get for them. I think he's a guy that could definitely help you in a couple of years.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how the coaches will handle that. Do they want to just go ahead and get some guys in the boat and try to get some momentum, or do you slow play it and just sort of see where it takes you? That'll be interesting to see. Steve Robertson on 24/7 saying may not be the only one today. So we're recording 2:15 on Monday. You know, could be another one that we have to talk about, I guess, on Wednesday or Thursday show. We will see. Let's move on into the SEC preview that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, if you're cooking out anytime, you definitely want to check out some beef and beef products. Why? Because they're awesome. I mean, who's turning down a steak? That's what I want to know. Everybody wants steak. Vegetarians, vegans, they want steak. They just won't tell you about it. Just believe it. So, next time you're at the grocery store, if you're at the butcher shop, tell them, hey, cut me a ribeye, cut me some fillets. I'm putting those on the grill this weekend. Your whole family will thank you. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. That's the place to find smoked Southern soul food. I say it every show. I tell you how great it is. The good news is you're listening. Every week, Robbie and I get somebody who's tweeting at us. Somebody's letting us know, hey, I went to Two Brothers and you guys were right. It's fantastic. Well, first off, thank you for patronizing our sponsors. But two, I mean, we weren't kidding. We weren't kidding. There's a reason Robbie and I eat there as often as we do. It's not because they're paying us to do that. Yeah. We show up because the food's good.
And we don't get free stuff.
Yeah,
we're not free stuff. We're paying in full.
We pay our bill. And I'm happy to do so because the food is so awesome at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. It's what it's all about when you have a business. Everybody offers it, but who really delivers it? Well, here's a test. Has the business that's saying they have great products and great service been around for 47 plus years? If they have, probably take them at their word. And that's what Advantage Business Systems does for you. You're talking about Mississippi people, your neighbors. That's who you're doing business with when you call the number. That's who you're talking to. You're not worried about getting on hold and dealing with some call center and some out-of-state contractor. None of that. None of it. Mississippi people doing business with Mississippi people. That's what it's all about. Call them today and find out what they can do for you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. SEC preview time, the Auburn Tigers.
Brian, before you start this,
yes,
completely unrelated, but I just wanted to have a quick conversation.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if you saw my tweet about USC baseball.
Yes, I saw it.
I think our friend Teddy Cahill might have tweeted something about they were looking for a coach, and I had just completely forgotten about them. How have they fallen off the map like this? This is a team that they had the most national championships in baseball across any of the NCAA's baseball teams.
Mm-hmm.
12 national championships. They've been in the College World Series like 20-something times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen to this. Since 2001, which was the last time that they went to the College World Series, they have had 3 winning seasons. In 21 years, they've had 3 winning seasons.
Not it's kind of weird, right?
They've been to the NCAA tournament twice during that time. They've been to one super regional. They've been ranked twice during that time.
Yeah.
They have completely fallen off the map. They dominated in the 70s. They had some really good years in the 80s. Their last national championship was 98. So with that, you know, they have the resources there. They should be able to recruit good players. It should be a place where you get good coaches in, but they are just completely done. I mean, they are dead.
They're sort of like Texas football. I mean,
yeah, but the Texas football continues to produce money, and they continue to.
Oh yeah, money, but wins? No, not so much.
Well, I wouldn't compare them in the slightest here, because this team has had one winning season in 16 years.
I mean, they haven't been as bad for sure, but so you look at USC from 68 to 74, 7 years, they won six national titles. They won six.
They won five in a row.
They won five in a row. And then won again in 78. And then, like you said, since then, they've just fallen off the map. And there's really no great explanation for it.
Do you think it's maybe people, other teams, other conferences starting
recruiting players? You saw programs out in California have gotten better at baseball. Never mind like UCLA and Stanford. Cal State Fullerton has won a national title. Pepperdine has won a national title. Santa Barbara is always good.
Long Beach State
is usually pretty good. So, and then, like you said, Texas, Georgia, Texas, Arkansas, State, LSU, they go into California and get players. It's just different. It's just a different. Also, you got to remember, back in the day, like, wasn't the College World Series kind of sort of set up regionally? So sometimes you might not even be playing the best teams. It wasn't the eight best teams. It was just who won their region, I believe. So I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, there was like a South regional and a East regional and stuff like
that.
It really
was regional. It wasn't just
They
weren't sending Southern Cal to the South regional is what I'm trying to say.
Well, actually, they were. They did go to the South regional.
Really?
They did it kind of like it is now, but it was like eight teams, I think.
Okay.
Because they're in the South Regional in 1990 and 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And State's been.
I'm talking about back in the 70s when this was happening.
Well, I don't know about that, but there. Yeah. I mean, there was South Regionals in the 80s and 90s.
I don't know what the setup. I'm talking about. When Southern Cal was winning the College World Series back then, like, they weren't sending Southern teams out west and sending Western teams. They weren't doing that back then.
Are you saying, like, in the College World Series, they were not?
In the regionals. Like, the regionals were actually regional. Like, you would just take the best teams from the west, the best teams from the south, and they'd play each other, and the winner of that regional would go to the – but that being said, if whoever the sixth best team in the West might not have been any good. They were just the sixth best team in the West, though.
And in fairness, they still had to go to the College World Series and face the best teams from the South and the East if that's what happened.
Yeah.
But getting there, you're correct. If that's what the setup was, they might not be playing the same competition. But
forget how long that guy coached, by the way. He won a national title in 1958 and won a national title in 1978.
And he was, he was coaching in the 40s, too, apparently.
Let's see here. Well, they won a national title, according to this, what I'm looking at, in 48 with Sam Barry as their head coach. And so I don't know when Dudeau took over. I guess I could look
that up. Well, it says 1942, Sam Barry and Rod Dudeau. And then from 43 to 45, he was coaching. I guess he coached during the war or something. I didn't know they played sports during the war. And then from 46 to 50, it says Sam Barry and Rod Dudeau. It's like they were bouncing back and forth.
Really weird.
I don't know. It's just anyway. It's just a weird situation.
Yeah. Let's move over to Auburn.
Okay.
So Auburn, looking at their schedule, obviously going to probably start off 2-0. I say probably. They're going to start off 2-0. Mercer and San Jose State. Then they have the first CBS game of the year. Penn State comes to Jordan-Hare Stadium. They lost that game up there last year. Honestly, Robbie, I think they're going to lose it again.
I don't know. It's, you know, that's a tough place to play. They usually play really well at home.
They do.
And, you know, how is Penn State going to handle that atmosphere? I don't know. I'm so torn on this one. And I don't know how good Penn State is. I haven't even looked at their team this year in the offseason.
Same as always.
I think I'm going to go with Auburn in this game, actually.
Okay. I am not. I am going to go with what's the word I'm looking for? With Penn State.
The eternal Auburn pessimist.
I know. I don't worry about Penn State in a rough environment. They play at Michigan and Ohio State and Wisconsin all the time. I mean,
how many of those are they winning?
They win. They do okay. I mean, maybe not at Ohio State, but they go into to Wisconsin and Michigan and play okay. I mean, Penn State's a good team year in and year out. So I'll have them 2-1.
Good B-plus player.
Do what now?
A good B-plus player.
It's a good little spot for them. So you'll have them 4-0, and I'll have them 3-1 when they take on Missouri the week after Penn State. Then the LSU comes to town. This is an interesting game. Kind of a swing game for both teams in the season, right? Not sure what LSU's record's going to be. We haven't done them yet. Auburn, I say 3-1. They're 3-2 at this point. You can just go ahead and start packing up Brian Harsin's thing.
Let's go ahead and get the hot board ready for Brian Harsin.
Right.
Because they're screwed on the back half of the schedule.
If they lose this game, then and you're 4-1, they're still okay, right?
Yeah, and I think LSU's going to win this game
at Auburn, but we'll see how that goes. I'll take LSU as well.
So neither team. I mean, who is going to be Auburn's quarterback? Zach Calzada?
Calzada and TJ Finley. I mean, neither one of those guys can scare you, right?
They are really kind of striking out on the quarterbacks of late.
Yeah.
Bo Nix was just
supposed to be the savior and okay. Didn't work out, and they haven't really recruited a guy since then.
I mean, the last really good quarterback they had was Nick Marshall. Is that right?
Trying to think who they had between. I mean, so they had Jeremy Johnson. We all know who that was.
The Heisman Trophy candidate.
Yeah. Who was their quarterback in 17 when they won the West? I don't remember. Wasn't Bo Nix. Bo Nix was a freshman in 18, I think, or 19. I don't remember who that quarterback was, but they won the – oh, it was Jarrett Stidham.
Jarrett Stidham.
Had a good first year, but his second year he was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. They haven't – and that's why they don't win. When did Auburn win the national title? 2010. What did they have? Maybe the best quarterback in the history of college football for one season.
Yeah. So he would have been totally worth $180,000, by the way.
He would have been worth $300,000. He would have been worth
imagine what his million. Price would be in today's age.
I mean, talking an NIL million. Deal?
We're talking $5 million.
That's interesting. You're talking about what the price would be knowing what he was going to become. Coming out of junior college with an arrest on his record, I don't know if it's as much as you think. It's probably – it's not the millions.
I think the word had gotten out at that point, like, that he was going to be really good because he had killed it at Blinn.
I don't disagree.
Like, the only reason he didn't stay at Florida was the legal troubles.
Yeah. He would have taken over for T-Bet, yeah.
If we knew now what we didn't know then mm-hmm. about what, you know, the fact that if you have him on your team, you're probably going to win national championship.
No, you're right.
I mean, I don't know what the Bulldog initiative would have been. I mean, he wouldn't even be considering Mississippi State.
Well,
I don't think.
Yeah, you know, you're correct.
Alabama would be on him. I mean, everybody would be on it. But
so I've got Auburn at 3-2. You've got them at 4-1. I'm going to have them at 3-3 because the next week they play the Deep South's oldest rivalry and they travel to Georgia. Honestly, Robbie, if they're 3-3 at this point, they might just go ahead and fire Harsin.
Dude, they are playing what? 6 home games in their first 8?
Home, 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 away, away, home. Yes.
They get 8 home games.
Yes. They're only
8 home games and 4 road games.
They're only road games. Well, I mean, State is going to have a year like that. Is it next year?
I don't know. But that's crazy. I mean, the schedule still goes their way as far as the –
Yes, next year, all of State's non-conference games next year are at home, and they'll have 4 conference games.
The problem for them is these games that sometimes they have a chance in, like Alabama and Georgia and teams like that, those are on the road.
Yeah.
And then a couple of games that could be toss-up games, Ole Miss and Mississippi State, those are on the road.
I think
all 4 games on the road are games that you want to play at home.
I think if you go back to, like, 2011 – the Iron Bowl has gone. When it's in Auburn, it's a really close game. And when it's in Alabama, they blow them out. Alabama blows them out. So,
and that's going to happen this year. That's because Harsin's going to be done at that point. I mean, this is going to be a massacre.
Yeah, 4-2, 3-3. They got to go to Ole Miss.
I'm taking Ole Miss in this, I think.
It's so weird the last 2 years. You know, 2 years ago, you remember Ole Miss got screwed by the officials. I know y'all all hate to hear that, but it happened. Then last year, Corral was injured in this game and didn't play at 100%. And Auburn, this was probably Auburn's best win last year. They dominated Ole Miss in that game.
Well, it could have been
with you, though.
It would have been – it probably would have swung Ole Miss's way if Corral
had been healthy, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take Ole Miss to win.
Yeah, I think so, too.
3-4. Ooh, it's getting ugly, Robbie. Mm. I'm definitely going to have 3-5, and you'll have them 4-4 because they play Auburn next. I'm sorry, they play Arkansas next.
And that's at Auburn, but I think Arkansas is just going to – yeah, I think Arkansas is going to win that game.
Travel to Mississippi State. I definitely will take State to win that.
Yes. You get a bye. No, they don't get a bye.
They don't have a bye. Their bye is between Ole Miss and Arkansas.
Does Texas A&M – I thought Texas A&M played Alabama after State. Did they play them before?
Texas A&M plays Alabama the weekend after Mississippi State.
Matt, that's not right because they're on this schedule they're playing – oh, no, I'm sorry. I've screwed myself up. Auburn plays Mississippi State and then A&M. Not,
right.
Okay. Sorry. I'm sorry.
A&M plays State and then Alabama.
Yeah, that's a complete screw up on my part. Just ignore that.
So,
but we're taking losses in both of these games for
– Yeah. I have Auburn 3-7 at this point. 4-7, and you'd have them 5-6 when they beat Western Kentucky. But what I'm going to tell you something right now. Two things. All right, first off, Auburn should be in complete give-up mode at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of offense does Western Kentucky run? Do you know?
I don't know.
They run the air raid. Remember Bailey Zappe last year threw for over 5,000 yards.
That's right.
That's a dangerous game for Auburn. That could be the low point. I'll take them to win, but
– And, you know, they're going to be – you know, if they are what we think they're going to be at that point, it's, you know, the morale is going to be completely shot.
That's what I'm saying.
And you know, Auburn's kind of like LSU sometimes. Like when things are bad, they're really bad. Like it's dysfunctional. You know, you got boosters that are trying to control things. The fan base turning on each other, turning on the coaches. Auburn and LSU are a lot alike when that stuff happens. I could see this thing just completely blowing up in their face,
especially if they've got an interim coach at this point, which is likely.
You think they'll fire him in the middle of the season?
They might fire him at 3-3. I think so.
I can't wait to see like the videos and social media posts by Auburn, like, you know, this is our coach, stuff like that preseason, like,
and then they fire him in mid-October.
Yeah, after you've tried to stage this coup or whatever you were doing last year, trying to find a new coach, you couldn't find a new coach. So you're like, okay, I guess we'll take you back, Brian, if you don't mind coming back over here and coaching with us,
right? And then I think we both agree Alabama will beat their brains in.
Yes, that's going to be absolutely brutal.
So I've got them 4-8, and you've got them 5-7.
Yes.
Not good.
I think they can win. I think they can win 6.
I will say this.
The schedule's
tough.
Years
where you really give up on Auburn are usually the years where they're pretty good.
Well, it's kind of like what I said earlier. Like when you think everything's just going to blow up in their face, they actually find a way.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. We'll see. 4-8, 5-7. All right.
And Brian Harsin pulled the Mike Bianco and get himself an extension this year by being better than expected. They're about to give Mike Bianco a 4-year extension here after this, by the way. After we picked him to be losing his job.
Never listened to
after. It was clear as day. I mean, that we had Ole Miss beat writers were writing stories on.
There were hot boards getting put together.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was happening.
Yeah. All right, so 4-8 Auburn, 5-7 for Robbie. In the East, we've done Georgia and Kentucky. Who are we doing next week? Should we just get Vanderbilt out of the damn way?
Yes, let's just go ahead and talk about that.
We'll do the Commodores.
What are we going, 2-10?
Spoiler alert, 1-11. We'll see what happens. So. All right, tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. You know what to do. Get the questions in. Thursday, we'll talk about the Egg Bowl again. Michael Borky will join us, and he will he'll give us a more detailed look at that game. We'll probably have some more recruiting news to talk about as well. There's something else. Oh, and I said I got my interview with John Cohen as well. So we'll have that, and you know, we'll talk about what he tells us. I want to talk to him about facilities, scheduling, a few other things that are on my mind for Mississippi State. We'll figure it all out. Guys, have a great Tuesday. Robbie and I'll be back with you on Wednesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.